You're welcome back. You're with This Week on RTE Radio 1. Let's talk money now, because in around 48 hours, we'll be getting details of Budget 2026. It will be a budget setting out how more than 120 billion euro will be spent in the coming year. It comes amidst repeated warnings from several quarters that the government is spending more than it should. So what exactly is the government getting wrong, if in fact it is getting it wrong? Let's ask Emma Howard, who's a lecturer at TU Dublin. Good afternoon to you, Emma.
Good afternoon, Fran.
No doubt this is a big money budget, Emma, but many saying at the same time it will be the tightest in years. Explain.
Yes, it looks like it. And I think what's really interesting now is that, talking to you, I don't know exactly what's in the budget package this year. And I think in previous years, we would have known, everything would have been leaked at this stage. So it really does show negotiations across departments seem to be going down to the wire. And part of that, I think, is because this year, Pascal O'Donoghue has been very clear that the 9.4 billion package that was outlined in the summer economic statement, that they won't be straying from that. So that is a hard maximum amount that's planned. And what it means is that for the first time, particularly with last giveaway budget, they're really facing these trade-offs whereby they can't do everything everywhere all at once. So they're really having to make hard choices in which different measures are introduced. So what we do know is that there's going to be just a 1.5 billion tax package this year. And I guess that's where we're going to see, I think, a lot less for most of the listeners resulting from what's announced on Tuesday.
Because those tax measures, the budget for them is so tight, and we have had confirmation from Pascal O'Donoghue that there will be no changes to the income tax bans. Now, many people may be surprised by that. It means that if you get a rise, you're quite likely to get pay substantially more tax. Is that something of a surprise that they didn't decide to change something there?
Yeah, I mean, I think what typically would be done is that they would index to inflation the tax bands, at least, so that, you know, if you are getting a wage increase that is really compensating you for the higher price level in the economy, that you then, at least your purchasing power remains the same this year as last year. But we are actually going to see, as it stands, if they don't change those tax bands at all, is that for the average worker, they are actually, even with a pay rise, likely going to be slightly worse off this year, because they will be paying the same amount of tax or more tax if it brings them into a higher tax band. And actually, we also have the PRSI increases that were announced in last year's budget come into effect from the 1st of October this year. So we have a little increase in our PRSI payments as well. So yeah, I think, you know, we're workers are going to feel it a little bit. I think, you know, we have had very, what we call, a pro-cyclical fiscal policy that the government have been kind of locked into in previous years, whereby the economy has been strong and it does continue to remain strong. So, you know, we're going to see pretty reasonable levels of growth this year and have done for the past few years. And the government have been spending far and above what would be a sustainable amount of an increase in spending year on year. So, you know, they had themselves pledged to keep that increase in spending year on year 5% net of any tax increases. They keep breaching that, and they're breaching it again.
Why do you think that is, Emma? Because they've, as you say, they've had warnings. Central Bank, Fiscal Advisory Council, the ESRI, across the board. Why are they pushing ahead as they are?
I mean, it's kind of like they're locked into it now. So what we're seeing this year is still a package that is planning too big of an increase in spending, given a strong economy, given an economy where we're close to full employment and we're, you know, we're running into capacity constraints. But they've almost locked themselves into this pro-cyclical fiscal policy. So they're really feeding inflation in the economy. They're risking overheating, and they're also giving themselves very little wriggle room for, you know, we've so far actually come through all of the tariffs and the geopolitical risks quite well, and our economy remains strong. But I think we still have those risks down the line, and we know we've got lots of risks, you know, in the medium term. We know we've got a lot of infrastructure that we need to spend money on. We've got costs associated with climate change and the lack of action there, and our aging population. And so they've kind of locked themselves into this spending lots when the economy is strong, which is the exact opposite to what they should be doing. They should be reducing that spending when we have a strong economy so that they can spend more when we run into these issues, or spend more to plan for things like climate change and aging population, and to address our creaking infrastructure.
One of the things that was confirmed last night, actually, by Sandra Hurley, who's not long left this studio, Sandra reported last night that this reduced VAT rate for the hospitality sector will happen in July with a cost of around 300 million, yeah, somewhat less than we had expected. Are you a proponent of that, or what do you make of the decision to go ahead with that?
I do not know a single economist who thinks that that is a good idea, unless they work for the hospitality sector or for one of the lobbyists. There's a couple of points to it, I suppose. One is whether or not the hospitality sector are actually struggling, and the only figures we have are from the Restaurants Federation on the number of restaurant closures. But of course, it's an industry where there's always been a lot of churn. So restaurants close, restaurants open. So, you know, we see the closures, they don't publish data on how many new restaurants are opening. And if we look at the employment levels in the hospitality sector, first quarter this year, employment was up 7%. It was down a little bit in the most recent figures, but it remains pretty stable. So there's no evidence that the sector itself is, you know, particularly struggling more than the kind of churn that we see in it typically over time. But also, even if they needed supports, this measure of cutting VAT rates, and it's important to note, they already have a reduced VAT rate. So the standard rate is 23%. They're already on a reduced rate of 13.5%, which costs 2 billion. That's 2 billion of a support for that sector.
So what should they do? And the sector would say they need supports. We can see restaurants and coffee shops closing. What should the government do?
Well, if they do want to try and support the sector, more targeted measures, so for example, maybe looking at rates or different things like that, where they can support individual businesses rather than this universal cut, which is going to support, you know, those huge profitable businesses like McDonald's or Supermax, just as much as those, you know, small coffee shops that people tend to focus on. I think another really important point to make, and the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council highlighted this, like if you look at that cut, now they're delaying it to July, and that is allowing them to say it's going to cost less. But of course, that if that continues into the next year, then we know the full cost of that is closer to about 800 million a year. But also not spending the tax package on that one sector, which is, you know, only around 7% of employment in Ireland. It means that they can't do things like give workers a reduction in tax or index those tax bands to inflation. And that trade-off means that there's an awful lot of other measures that they can't introduce.
All right. Emma Harrod of TU Dublin, thanks for speaking to us.